Well, in January 2021 last year, we celebrated our 90th anniversary here at Donington. And I think in those 90 years, I believe we may not have had a reading that was any shorter than the reading that our dear brother Will brought to us this morning. Jesus wept. John chapter 11, verse 35. Now, for all its grammatical simplicity, these two words, this one verse, is full of teaching, full of wonder, full of the Lord's grace and power. Never has a noun and a verb in such a short sentence had such power. Now, there is an old adage, laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone. And it's surprising how true this statement can be in our world today. And during the pandemic, there has been much sadness. Many people have lost loved ones due to COVID and other health conditions. Bereavement and illness has become our portion. The pandemic has had a huge social impact. People have lost their jobs. Young people have had to cope without the structure of school and a consistent education. As a result, it has become commonplace to be on a tube or a train or a public place where you see someone who looks sad. And you may during this time even see a complete stranger in tears. And sometimes you may inquire about their situation and ask them what's wrong. Other times you simply watch them crying, weeping, and you have compassion. Maybe you pray for them and hope that the Lord will resolve whatever problem has led the person to cry in public. I'm sure many of you have had these experiences, because there is something uninviting about a person in tears, something that makes us uncomfortable. And yet, on rare occasions, there can be instances when the opposite is true. You can be in a place where everyone is in tears, everyone is weeping, and it makes you want to weep as well. In Cameroon, where my family and I are from, I often remember whenever we go there, we will often have to attend funerals. And even if you do not know the person, and that well who has died, when you attend these occasions, you're seeing other people crying, and it's very moving, and it makes you want to cry also. And I remember in this country, when Princess Diana died in 1997, there was a real outpouring of national grief. Literally, thousands of people were in tears. And none of these people knew Princess Diana personally, but they were deeply saddened and moved to tears about her death. So when we read John chapter 11 and verse 35, there is something equally compelling, even captivating, about the shortest verse in the Bible, which simply says, Jesus wept. So this morning we will look at this verse and the surrounding verses in more detail, and also look at the events that led to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ weeping, and we will see what lessons we can learn. Now, have you ever stopped to wonder what could possibly bring tears to the eyes of God? Can you imagine the face of the Lord Jesus, moist with his own tears? Now, are they tears of weakness or strength? Or, each time in a different place and for a different reason. Every single tear that Jesus wipes from his cheek is meaningful and significant. So in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, we have the account of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus leads his followers across the Kidron Valley to a secluded olive garden known as Gethsemane. Hidden in the shadow of the knotted and knobbly olive trees, the garden provides a quiet place for Jesus to spend his final hours. Now, this serene setting would become the stage upon which Jesus faced his greatest struggle, and he did so in tears. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, we read there, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Here in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus' humanity becomes clearer than ever. Jesus did not enter into the garden to escape death or to hide from it. He went there to prepare for it. And that preparation meant making the most significant decision in history. As he wrestled with the decision before him, he broke down in tears. As Jesus faced his fate, he let his tears drive him to his knees. He prayed. He prayed to his Father in heaven. He sought an answer, an alternative, but ultimately he sought the Father himself. And he submitted himself to his Father's will and was able to face the agony of the cross. Not only the physical pain, but the emotional pain of being separated from the Father. Praise God. And the second occasion in Scripture when Jesus weeps is in Luke's Gospel, and Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. And there we read, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. On Palm Sunday, just before Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, this was one of the most remarkable moments of Jesus' life. Riding into the city on a donkey, crowds gathered all around him, worshipping, throwing their coats, as well as palm leaves on the ground beneath Jesus' feet. Jesus was ushered towards the city with a hero's welcome, yet he breaks down in passionate sobs. Why? Why did Jesus weep so passionately at the sight of Jerusalem? Well, the answer is because Jesus knew the majority of the people did not accept their opportunity of salvation. Many in the same crowd who were welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem as the prophet, the priest, the king, the long-awaited Messiah, would soon be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," a few days later. And Jesus knew he had come to offer salvation, but the majority of the people rejected him. And this is a question for us today. Do we accept our opportunity for salvation? If you do, and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, praise God. And if you are not sure, remember, Jesus cried, he shed a tear for those who decided not to recognize him. And Jesus' prophecy in Luke chapter 19 about Israel's enemies surrounding their walls was fulfilled 40 years later in 70 AD. The Roman Empire turned on the Jews and invaded Jerusalem. And Jesus had warned them, but they didn't believe him. So when the Roman army surrounded the city, the people simply locked the gates and hid inside and had nowhere to run. The Romans destroyed the walls around the city. Many Jews were slaughtered by the Roman imperial swords. How different things would have been if they had believed Jesus. If they had believed in Jesus. Jesus had come that they might be enlightened, but they chose darkness. He wanted them to have abundant life, but they chose eternal death. The same voices shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," would soon scream, "Crucify him, crucify him." So we can see why Jesus wept on that first Palm Sunday. And on the third occasion, when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, weeps, is in John chapter 11, verse 35. Now last week we looked at the first part of John chapter 11, and Andrew reminded us that Jesus was across the Jordan River, where John had been baptizing in the early days, when he got the news that his dear friend Lazarus was sick. Scripture records that Jesus loved Martha, her sister Mary, and their brother Lazarus very much. Yet when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. The trip to Bethany, Lazarus' hometown, was not far from where Jesus was. Had he left immediately, Jesus could have been by Lazarus' side by nightfall. Instead, he chose to wait two more days before leaving Bethany. By the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus was already dead. Now, Jesus' decision not to go directly to Bethany would provide him with the opportunity not only to demonstrate his divine power, but more importantly, to connect intimately with Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, sharing in their pain and bathing them in his love. And we read that after Martha returned from meeting Jesus, she calls Mary aside privately and tells her, "The teacher is here. He is asking for you." And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. was felt for those who were suffering. It is true that by not speaking healing from a distance, like Jesus had done for the centurion's servant in Matthew's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 13, or by his delaying in coming, Jesus had let Lazarus die. The Lord had really good, merciful, and glorious reasons for doing that. But this does not mean that Jesus took the suffering cause lightly. And this really is a lesson for us today. Jesus feels our pain. If we are in a desperate situation and we think that Jesus does not have any compassion for our suffering, when we read this short verse, Jesus wept. Nothing can be further from the truth. In the book of Lamentations, in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 33, we read there, "For he does not willingly bring grief or affliction to the children of men." Even though Jesus always chooses what will ultimately bring his Father the most glory, and sometimes, as in Lazarus' case, it requires affliction and grief, he does not take delight in the affliction and the grief itself. Jesus is sympathetic. Jesus' actions at the tomb of Lazarus gives us a glimpse of how the Father feels over the affliction and grief his children experience. Praise God. Now, another reason Jesus wept was over the calamity of sin. In the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 8, we read there, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Jesus was about to deliver death its death blow. I know that sounds like a strange sentence, but Jesus came to put death to death. But sin grieves God deeply, and so do the wages of sin, death. And ever since the fall, Adam and Eve, death has consumed every human being he has created almost. And it had taken Lazarus, and it would take him again before it was all over. And the third reason for weeping was the cost that Jesus was about to pay to purchase not only Lazarus's short-term resurrection, but his everlasting life. The cross was just days away. No one really knew the inner distress Jesus was experiencing. No one really understood yet what Jesus was about to do. Lazarus's resurrection that day would look free and be experienced by Lazarus and everyone else as a gift of grace. But it was not free. Jesus was going to die a horrific death to purchase it. And the most horrific part of the crucifixion, as unimaginable as that alone would have been, Jesus was dreading his Father's wrath. Jesus, who had never known sin, was about to become Lazarus' sin and the sin of all who had or would believe in him, so that in him they would all become the righteousness of God. And this is so well put in the book of Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5. And verse 21. In that verse we read, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He was looking to the joy that was set before him, but the reality of what lay between was weighing heavily. Now, a fourth possible reason for Jesus' tears was that he knew that raising Lazarus would actually cause the religious leaders to finally take action to put him to death. In John chapter 11, as we continue in verses 45 to 53, we will see there that this is where the plot to kill Jesus really starts in earnest. And in this account, most of us probably marvel at Jesus' incredible trust that he has in the Father, and that the Father would answer him. And it really shows how we can often have little faith. If Jesus had any struggle that day, Jesus knew that the Father would answer him. And Jesus knew what the results would be when the Father answered him also. So calling Lazarus out of the tomb would have taken a different kind of resolve for Jesus than we might ever have imagined. Giving Lazarus life was sealing Jesus' own death. So Jesus' weeping at Lazarus' tomb gives us a glimpse into how God views our suffering and death. His reasons for not sparing us these things are righteous and glorious, but in them he is full of compassion. And he hates the calamity sin brings, and he himself has suffered more than we will ever know in order to pay the full cost of our eternal resurrection. Praise God. Now, the fact that Jesus wept is also clear proof of his humanity. Now, when we lose loved ones, we weep. It's a natural human reaction to weep at the loss of a family member or a friend. I believe often as believers we can lose sight of the fact that Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. And this can be dangerous. If we emphasize one over the other, we can often get a wrong image of Jesus. And Scripture is very careful to remind us of Jesus' divinity, but equally careful to remind us of his humanity. John chapter 11. Verse 35, Jesus wept. What greater reminder can there be of our Saviour's humanity? Jesus had human friendships, though it's so rare to meet someone who can say they've never had a friend to love. Everyone in the world has always, at least one moment in their life, at one point in their life, had a friend. And what we know about the passage leading up to the shortest verse in Scripture is that Jesus delighted in spending time with Lazarus. In John chapter 11, and we see in verse 5, it says that and that's particularly something that happens here in the UK. In fact, the British have a reputation worldwide of having what's called a stiff upper lip and not revealing our emotions in public. And some people say that this is a good thing, and some people say it's not good to repress our emotions in this way. But what we do know is that Jesus, if he wanted to, he could have hidden his grief. He had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, so surely he had the power to hold back his emotions at this time of sorrow. And it really does make this the shortest verse in the Bible all the more remarkable. A word from Jesus could have been enough to bring Lazarus back to life. But for our salvation, Jesus wept. And this is a lesson for us today. Maybe we are not pointing people to Christ, because when we see injustice, when we see grief, when we see the calamity that is going on around us, we're not moved to tears. In these, the last days, we will see natural disaster after natural disaster. Floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, thousands of people dying. Yet often some of these items are relegated to the second or third item in the news. And have you noticed that? Are we moved to tears by such calamities? And this is a really important question we have to ask ourselves, because it will impact on how we serve the Lord if we are believers. How can we serve the Lord effectively if we are unable to respond to grief? Jesus wept. Shows us our Lord and Saviour was moved by the weeping he saw for his friend Lazarus, who had died. Jesus was moved to tears, but he was also moved to raise Lazarus to life. And bringing to life is the key to understanding this verse of Scripture. Jesus wept. A noun and a verb. Never has it had such significance. Jesus would bring Lazarus back to life. Now earlier, in John's Gospel, in the same chapter, John chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, there we have an intriguing discussion between Jesus and Martha, which really provides us with the insight why Jesus was filled with so much compassion, why he wept for his friend Lazarus. And there we read, Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" In Jesus, we have life. Praise God. Once we will all one day depart from this world and face death, unless the Lord Jesus returns in glory before. Through Jesus, we can enjoy life everlasting. Whoever believes in Christ has a spiritual life that death cannot conquer or diminish in any way. And Jesus asks Martha a question, "Do you believe this?" And Martha answers, is our answer to that question today? Well, we hope the answer is yes also. If you do believe that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the resurrection and the life, praise God. And if you do not believe, read this chapter of Scripture, John chapter 11, and why Jesus wept. It was not because he was simply feeling sad. No, he wept because he can sympathize with our emotions. Jesus has walked through no darker doors than we walk through today. And if today you are still in mourning over someone near and dear to you who is now departed, Jesus knows how you feel. He is able to compassionately respond to our suffering. We pray through the work of the Holy Spirit for those who have not yet accepted Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that eyes will be opened to the gospel message. Jesus wept. Two words, a noun and a verb, but so much meaning. In fact, the verse has so much resonance because of its brevity. But it's because Jesus cares. Jesus shed a tear at the death of a close friend, like you and I would do in a similar situation. Now, in the very next verse, in chapter 11, verse 36, the Jews even remarked on how much Jesus loved his friend Lazarus. Jesus cares about us and our inmost feelings. What a friend we have in Jesus. And Jesus loves. He loves you and he loves me. Jesus showed his love for Lazarus by raising him from the dead. That Lazarus was to face death once again. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, that's the question for us today. And let us pray that the answer to this question will be yes. And if you are going through a difficult time, we have to remember, no matter how difficult the situations we face may seem, we worship the Lord Jesus, who not only wept when his close friend died, but had the power to reverse what is ordinarily an irreversible situation. No problem we face is so insurmountable our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cannot handle. So let us pray this week. We place our problems at his feet and we seek to serve him with all our hearts, and we are not afraid to shed a tear when we are deeply wounded.